We talk about energy a lot here. It's tied to the economy. It's tied to prosperity. It's tied to so many things. Very, very important topic. And we discussed it a lot. And a lot of that discussion has gone about in terms of energy transition. We are transitioning. But you know what? I'm very happy today and very honored too. But there is an energy transition of a different kind at Northwestern Energy. It's the energy transition of a human kind. Robert Rowe, marking his final days as the 14-year leader of Northwestern Energy, respected CEO retiring at the end of the year. And then colleague Brian Bird, who's been transitioning into that position for several months, is going to take over the helm. Today, we get to talk about, well, you know, all those things that will come up when we talk about energy's past, present, and future. This will be through the eyes of two of the industry's most involved stakeholders, Bob Rowe and Brian Bird, today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much, Cody. Do me a favor, will you? I just noticed this window. It's got that screen going on. I gotta see the day so I can relate. Oh, there it is. And it's snow and it's winter. All right, shut that again. That looks cold out there. No, I'm just kidding. I love to have that daylight in. Hey, thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that. We're two decades strong, working on three. An objective perspective, Voices of Montana. Get right into it today. Again, as I expressed, it's an honor to have this opportunity, but I think it'll just be a lot of fun, very informative. Let's welcome our guests. First of all, it is Bob Rowe, who is the, at least for a few more days here, Chief Executive Officer of Northwestern Energy. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. You know, it's an honor to be on your show. We appreciate the amount of coverage you give to this important subject and just the thoughtfulness with which you approach it. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we do need thoughtfulness when we talk about our energy, past, present, and future. Brian Bird, I'll bet you, Bob, you think Brian fits that role, too, in terms of thoughtfulness in that energy approach.
100%. I hope we get a chance to talk a little bit about Brian here as the conversation unfolds, but he's just the right person for the job.
Oh, we'll talk so much about him, he'll become uncomfortable. Good morning, Brian. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks.
And thank you for being here. And again, congratulations to both of you on your successful careers. I mean, that's a lot of time in the energy industry. Brian, we'll go back into your career a little bit. I noted you did some work with the Minnesota Vikings. That's probably still kind of fun to talk about with the way they've been beating teams lately, maybe a bit surprisingly. But again, congratulations and thanks for this opportunity. Bob, I'm just going to start with you. And you get this question a lot as you announced your retirement a while ago. You guys have been making plans for it, I think, in February of last year. But when you're in your last few days here, you're getting that, look back, Bob, look back and tell me how it all happened.
Well, first of all, just the last few months, Brian and I have been spending a huge amount of time traveling around Montana and South Dakota and Nebraska, visiting with our employees and visiting with the community leaders and customers. It's just been such a huge privilege. I've had some wonderful opportunities over my life, but none better than working with the people at Northwestern. It's been a great 14 years. We've got a lot done. No one is perfect. There's always more to do. And Brian and the team and the company have some big, big challenges that they'll be addressing over the coming years.
Well, and we'll get into those too. It won't be the major focus here, but when you're talking energy, you have to talk those challenges. Brian, I'm going to ask you to kind of follow up on that in terms of being close and being sort of guided, mentored into this role, though you've been with the company for 20 years. I'm not sure that's exactly the right frame there. But as you see Robert, acknowledging and kind of saying goodbye, that's probably an opportunity for you to learn even more in unique ways about the position that you'll be taking over soon.
Yeah, in essence, spending a lot of time with Bob just over the 14 and a half years he's been with us, you know, you get an inside view into his role during that whole time period. And we worked very, very closely together. And so, you know, we shared a lot along the way. And just obviously he's been helpful in this transition, thinking about things I will need to think about and in his role. And so we certainly have had time to talk about that as well.
Bob, what would be some of those challenges that you noted?
Boy, well, going forward, we'll be focused on things like capacity. But going back to 2008, when I joined the company, folks who've lived in Montana for a long time will remember the very, very difficult history going back to Montana Power Days, mm-hmm. the divestiture, the sale of all of the, almost all of the generation, the liquidation of the Montana Power Company as it transitioned into Touch America, then the acquisition of the transmission and distribution system in Montana by what had been Northwestern Public Service, a very good operator in South Dakota and Nebraska, but one that had also got into trouble with diversification. Mm. So at that point in 2008, there were challenges around infrastructure, challenges around extreme exposure to the market, inability to invest or difficulty investing at levels that were appropriate in our basic infrastructure. But a lot of it had to do with rebuilding or in some cases building trust. So the challenge there was to spend a lot of time with our employees who had, you know, had given their lives to work for our customers, rebuilding trust there, spending time with community leaders, with elected officials, with business leaders, with customers. So I spent a lot of time just listening and asking questions inside the company, outside the company, and also then certainly getting to know the communities we serve in Nebraska and South Dakota, and getting to know Montana in some very different ways. So that was job number one. And then job number two really was focusing on this basic infrastructure that it's our obligation to plan, build, maintain, and operate. And then going on from there to making sure our employees had the right tools, equipment, facilities, on and on. So all of the different challenges, different parts of the business coming together to provide our customers the very, very best service possible.
And
I actually should say too, we had a very big challenge rebuilding trust with the financial community. Mm-hmm. Our credit ratings were not where they should be. On the investor side, our primary owners were hedge funds. And you could say, well, why should a customer care about that? Well, the answer is, of course, that if your job is to build your state's most basic infrastructure, that's capital intensive. It takes a lot of money, and you want the support, both on the equity side and the debt side, of long-term, high-quality investors. And it was incredibly important to focus on that. And again, Brian's job at that time [S2] Yeah. [S1] Was chief financial officer, so we spent a lot of time rebuilding trust there, too. But fundamentally, rebuilding trust with our customers and recognizing that certainly now with high energy prices and all of the challenges in the industry, it's an everyday job to maintain and increase that trust.
Let's talk about, and just for reference here, Northwest Energy came out of bankruptcy about the time, Brian Bird, I think that you came on board as chief financial officer in 2003, maybe it was a couple of years later, but, you know, they had filed for bankruptcy at that time. You know, just comment on what Bob was talking about there. It came out of it. Bob Rowe was the Public Service Commissioner, served as the Public Service Commission from, I think, 03 to 2000. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. I did. 2008 or 4 or something like that.
2004.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep.
Brian, talk about that. I mean, what a time to enter in to that arena?
Well, Tom, when I tell people my start date in 2003, I don't just say 2003, I say December of 2003. The reason I do that, you don't want to be the CEO who brought a company to bankruptcy. You want to be the one that helps bring them out.
Yeah.
The company went to bankruptcy of September of 2003, and I joined in December. I have to admit that, you know, when I joined the company, you know, I wasn't a utility guy. I had energy experience with a generation company for 5 years prior to that. But I didn't know that, you know, utility is, they were going to want to keep me around. I figured they'd have somebody waiting in the wings to be, you know, CFO when you emerged from bankruptcy, mm-hmm. right? You'd have a utility person. So, mm-hmm. you know, I commuted for a period of time, helped them get out of bankruptcy, and I thought, well, geez, they'll just have their own person ready to go. Well, obviously, the longer I stayed and got to know the company and what we did and the purpose of what we do as a company, and the board, asked me to stay, and I'm glad I did. 19 years later, I'm still here. So, yeah, back to Bob's point about, you know, the bankruptcy itself, the goal was to get out, and we got out in a relatively short time. Is really where I met Bob. Bob was on the other side of the table, if you will, at the Montana Commission. Mm-hmm. And so it was difficult to get the company out of bankruptcy. And not only did we lose trust with, you know, shareholders, but many of which happened to be customers. And so, unfortunately for this total company, Montana Power had its bankruptcy, and Northwestern Public Service had its bankruptcy. So Bob's point about trust, it was the financial community, it was our customers, it was our commissioners, it was many people. And so I think, you know, we struggled for a period of time to really get that trust back. I think we were able to get the credit ratings back relatively quickly. And the importance of that, and I've been emphasizing as we've talked with employees here as of late, I think the appreciation for having strong financials, I think sometimes customers and others can kind of forget about how important it is for your utility to have strong financial backing. But had we not had stronger financial backing when the hydro facilities came up for sale, if they'd have come up 2 years earlier, we wouldn't have had the financial wherewithal to make that acquisition. And those assets continue to and will continue to provide benefits to our customers for many, many years to come. So, it's certainly been pleasure to help the company come out of bankruptcy, but more importantly is to help the company grow and help Bob and the rest of the executive team, you know, steer the company forward.
You know, go ahead, Bob. Did you want to follow up there?
Yeah. Just staying with that period, as Brian mentioned, I was at the Public Service Commission first during the Montana Power liquidation bankruptcy, but then more relevantly, during the Northwestern restructuring bankruptcy. And what the company was trying to do, it was the right thing. It was to get out of most of the non-regulated businesses to focus on being a utility. So that was the right direction. But at the commission, things got very real very fast. We weren't thinking too much about abstract policy questions. And we were being approached by, you know, one party or another. The company was effectively owned ultimately by just very, very short-term investors. But we had very thoughtful, grounded conversations about the kind of company we wanted to serve Montana. Actually even put that on paper. And fundamentally, what that was a financially sound company. That's important because we needed a company that could invest in infrastructure. Number two, a company that was utility focused. That doesn't mean you can't do anything else, but utility focused to its core. And then from there, a company that was operationally excellent. And that's certainly been a focus managing our, you know, very large capital budgets over the years. And then community focused and fundamentally customer focused. So financially sound, utility focused, operationally excellent, community focused, customer focused. And we actually, now at Northwestern, we revisit those goals on a pretty regular basis. And again, you can always do better. There's always progress to be made. But fundamentally, that's the company we aspire to be.
You know, and I wanted to talk when we come on back that, like, there's a couple of things I think to go off of there. One is the timing of things. Two is you're an investor-owned company with a very large public responsibility. And also, and you've talked about it before in the past too, Bob, the culture, reestablishing that culture and then making it a foundational part of day-to-day operations. Important focus there. We'll take a break and come on back. Pleasure to have Bob Rowe, Chief Executive Officer for Northwestern Energy, and soon to step in to those shoes, Brian Bird, who's currently President and Chief Operating Officer. Back with more. It's From Montana, For Montana, Voices of Montana.
Beko's new line of dishwashers feature Corner Intense, the first sprayer that cleans all the way to the corners. Beko achieves this performance using 50% less water and 25% less energy than U.S. standards for dishwashers, which is why when you choose Beko, you not only get cleaner dishes, but you're making the planet cleaner too. Save energy and money with gift card rebates up to $200 on eligible models until December 31st. Visit Beko.com for more details. That's Beko.com.
Flat out, plain and simple, for the last 20 plus years or more, our guests today have been insiders and experts in a very public way. When we talk about utilities and energy, we're talking today with Bob Rowe, the Chief Executive Officer, retiring at the end of the year, for Northwestern Energy, and then Brian Bird as well, who will be taking over the helm shortly, and with 20 years at Northwestern Energy, President and Chief Operating Officer. Again, thank you guys, and congratulations. Let's go into this, and Bob, I'll start with you about how do you manage a company where you're investor owned, but you also have a very large public responsibility. A lot of companies, they maybe produce a product and people can take it or leave it, and then it's about marketing. And I know all those things come to play here too, but it's a little bit different with energy. It's more than just a little bit different. We cannot have a shortage of energy. So how do you manage the company with on one hand very large public responsibility, also on the other hand, also an investor-owned company with a responsibility there?
Yeah, Tom, actually, you went to just a really fundamental point. So, yes, we are a publicly traded company. In the scheme of the economy, we're actually a puny company. And even in the world of electric utilities, we're one of the very, very smallest.
We like it that way, by the way.
you want to grow, but you want to grow in a responsible way that's true to your purpose, that's close to your core competencies, and we want to. So we want to do that by continuing to be the best utility infrastructure company that we can be. So that's number one. But particularly in Montana, we have a large presence and a very important role. That the total plant in service, the total electric and natural gas infrastructure we have in Montana is over $5 billion, and that is an incredible responsibility. I would distinguish what we do from just all of the, call it the energy sector generally. The energy sector includes a lot of companies that, just as you said, sell products. We really are much more a critical infrastructure and essential service company. And that is an incredible responsibility, and it's one that we're deeply committed to. Our success depends on, because we're also fully regulated, our success depends on the policies and decisions of the state of Montana, of its elected officials. And it's important for us to be respectful and aligned there. But again, going back to this idea of responsibility, there are just a couple of data points. I think you've probably heard me quote before. Peggy Noonan, the columnist, she was in the President Reagan's White House. So she's walking around New York City in the first days of COVID, and there are the mobile refrigerator morgues out on the street, and it's just desolation. But as she's walking around her neighborhood, she says, everything works and will continue to work as long as we have electricity. It's what keeps the lights on, the oxygen flowing, the information going, everything is the grid, the grid, the grid. So that was a reminder of just how important what we do is. Then another reminder in equally grim situations is what's happening in Ukraine. What is one of the primary targets of the bombs and the missiles? It's the energy infrastructure. So we're very mindful of that. And we think a lot about both physical security and cybersecurity on our system. But there really is, it's a responsibility, and there's a strong element of trust. The other part of that is we're a company that doesn't, we don't use our revenues to invest overseas or invest in other parts of the country even. We're investing in the infrastructure that serves our communities, and it's the communities where our employees live as well. So we are, yes, we're publicly traded on NASDAQ. Yes, we have primarily institutional shareholders, pension funds, insurance funds, things like that. But yes, so we're part of that larger economy. But really, we're about as much a hometown company as you can be. We're present where we live in the Rocky Mountains on the Great Plains.
Brian, if I'm just going to throw it to you to follow up on that, or I could switch it, you know, a little bit, because you look at the charge you have for publicly traded companies, and then you know, being this large energy provider. I think years ago it used to be more of the numbers, more of generation, more more industrial. And now we seem to be very political when it comes to energy. That obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, does that add an extra element to the challenge?
Let me do two things. I'll pile on Bob's a little bit. You know, he mentioned Ukraine, and obviously we've all been watching what's happening there. But even in our own country, we see when energy mix isn't right, you don't have the necessary infrastructure in place to provide service. You can see what happened in Texas. You can see what's happened in California. Mm-hmm. I tell our folks, you know, you really are really the difference between chaos and civilization. Mm-hmm. We don't have our electric and gas system for 3 weeks in the wintertime. We know what would happen. And so, you know, I don't say that lightly. What we do is critical to everyday life and the service territory we provide. So that's a bit of piling on there. And back to also Bob's point about investing, you know, we're 100% regulated utility. We reinvest in the service territory to provide the infrastructure to serve our growing communities. And so to your second question, Tom, I think what I'd say there is, you know, I think, yes, certain things get politicized. It's not what we do, it's how we do it, I think. I think everyone appreciates what we provide to our customers from both a gas and electric perspective. I think how we provide that service sometimes can be political. I think there's also a growing realization that, you know, Bob mentioned we're a smaller utility, and I think sometimes we get treated like we're this huge corporation, and, you know, why would we want this huge corporation to, you know, own these assets? Why not have others? You know, we look at that differently. It's easier for us to control the operation of the system if we own those assets, and important to do that. So I can understand how we provide that. I think, you know, there's no utility in the United States who's trying to get dirtier in terms of providing generation. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a tremendous amount of renewables on our system through contracts with others. We own some wind facilities, of course, as well. We have the best renewables of any utility in the service of having hydros. They're the best renewables you can have. And so I hope people have an appreciation in the changing mix of renewables, that the acquisition of the hydros, how critical it was and how important it was to us on so many different fronts. So I do think, you know, I can understand there's some issues here and there from a political standpoint, but I'd like to think that everyone has an appreciation for to have a growing community. And by the way, people want to use less, of our products. We certainly understand that. But we're also in parts of the country that are growing, and the demands on our system are actually growing. We don't have enough capacity from a generation perspective, from a transmission perspective, to serve our customers, and thus the requirement to continue to invest in our system each and every year, and actually at growing levels.
Bob, and that's Brian Bird, who will soon be, well, I shouldn't put it that way, will soon be Bob Rowe, I was going to say, but Chief Executive Officer. Bob's been doing that for 14 years, Brian with the company for 20 years. And Bob, I got a minute here. I was going to maybe have you follow up on that, because one of the things that you did, and I'm wondering where your vision came from. Maybe, again, it was just looking at the numbers, but you increased infrastructure for Northwestern Energy and for then South Dakota, Nebraska, and Montana, the folks there, and also acquired some of that generation. That, in my mind, was very necessary and a little bit kind of forethought.
Yeah, and let's start with the infrastructure. I mentioned that when I was back at the Public Service Commission, we became really concerned about whether or not investment in our basic infrastructure was where it needed to be. And we went out and commissioned an audit of that infrastructure. So then it came to the company and got to know some of the incredible people really all across the company, but including in the asset management area. So really right out of the gate, we started what became our distribution system infrastructure plan. We actually brought in a stakeholder group, which was an awful lot of fun. They committed to getting together on a pretty intensive basis to understand the infrastructure, and they helped us develop a vision for where to go, both on the gas and the electric distribution side. And that included all of the basics, underground overhead, similar on the gas side, hole inspection and change out where needed.
Apologies, also, Bob. I'm going to have to interrupt right there as we have a hard breakup coming. We'll come on back and pick up this discussion. Much more to talk about as well. Bob Rowe, Brian Bird here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Not sure where to stay when traveling to Bozeman? Not sure it's affordable to stay in Bozeman? Well, look no further than the Sapphire Motel. The newly updated Sapphire Motel offers reasonable rates on spacious rooms that are classy, comfortable, and inviting. The Sapphire Motel, rich in culture, not the rate, and your choice for lodging in the Gallatin Valley. The Sapphire Motel, affordable comfort and a classic motor inn, 310 North 7th in Bozeman.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate that. Hope you're kicking it today, getting closer to that weekend. We're at the Stock Growers tomorrow. That'd be a lot of fun. Talk about our economy. You know, we talk about energy a lot. Ag is still our number one leader around here, too. So that'll be live tomorrow from the Stock Growers Convention. Again, Tom Schultz alongside with Bob Rowe, who is marking his retirement here at the end of the year, 14 years, well-respected leader, CEO of Northwestern Energy, and his colleague, Bill Bird, who's been Brian Bird, who's been transitioning into that position for several months, is now taking over the helm. And again, congratulations. Thank you guys for the service there. I think our energy infrastructure and energy is just critical. It's just plain critical. And Bob, I wanted to go back because we were talking about infrastructure, talking about that new generation. When you see those things, and then you try to, I think there's a lot of analysis going on in the energy sector, and you look at those things and you see where you can meet those needs. Seeing them and then getting it done can be two different things sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just staying with this basic infrastructure, the delivery system and all the technology that supports it, that's been a focus since I've been on board. And we've made a huge amount of progress in improving Montana's basic infrastructure. So it's planning, it's investment, but it is also absolutely the people in the field who do the work, the journeymen on the gas side, the electric side, the local engineers, on and on. So this week we were visiting with our folks up in Havre, Lewistown and Roundup, and then the heart of our gas transmission and storage system in Cutbank. So these are folks who are out working absolutely no matter what the conditions are so that we can be safe and warm at home or at work. So that evolution of our basic infrastructure, more and more technology, more reliability, more ability to withstand unforeseen circumstances is going to be an area of focus for a very long time. And going over to the generation side, again, Montana basically, we sold the crown jewels, and it's been a challenge to put those back together. That one of the defining moments was the ability to acquire the run-of-the-river hydro system in Montana. And that, as Brian mentioned, there was no guarantee. It was not an easy lift. There were lots of other folks who would have grabbed those assets up and paid a lot more if they'd known that that was even an option. So that was transformative, I think, for the company and the state. And we've continued to invest in that hydro system. And along with that come the opportunities for stewardship of our state's rivers. So that's been extraordinary. Now, under Brian's leadership, the focus is going to be on our exposure, our customers' exposure, really, at times of peak, those long-duration, high-pressure winter or summer when it's incredibly hot or incredibly cold. We've made a lot of progress. We've been sounding the alarm on that. Our Yellowstone Generation Station is an important part of that, complementing other resources. But that's going to needs to be another area of focus over the coming years.
Brian?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm gonna throw this out there because it's a text message that came in, and I think it's important to talk about. I want to move to culture because we're going to run out of time here, and this is what this relates to. Hey, guys, you might note that Northwestern Energy has had a pretty amazing community investment and support philosophy. I know that firsthand, seeing not only dollar donations but also the involvement of employees in local and statewide causes. I know that gentleman, and you know that gentleman as well. Brian, maybe you talk about that. Maybe we talk about culture. Maybe we talk about moving forward with what Bob Rowe and others have done in that realm at Northwestern Energy.
Well, I think it's a great question. I think Bob, under his watch, a lot of great things have happened to this company, and we've got ourselves back up on stronger financial footing. We've continued to build the business and to provide service to our customers. But I think Bob's legacy, I think the biggest thing he'll leave behind is a much stronger culture than it was when he arrived. This is a utility that serves multiple jurisdictions, but acts to me like a family. And that's one of the reasons I love about this company is the family feel. It doesn't matter what location you're in, Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, it's a family feel. And I think that culture really from the top down started with Bob. I think the other thing about community giving and not just of dollars that we allow the local communities to make those decisions where those dollars go, but also the amount of time and investment of the people in those communities. They are the fabric of those communities in many cases, and a lot of volunteers, and we certainly encourage that of our employees. And so, yeah, we provide infrastructure, but most importantly, we provide the people to service that infrastructure and service those communities.
Bob, and I'm guessing that among the things that you can be proud of, having that sense of culture in a company the size of Northwestern Energy, and like you say, it might be small in terms of industry wide, but it is a large company when you look at where we are in the Inland Northwest, so to speak. I'm
absolutely
guessing that's one of your biggest, maybe most favorite accomplishments.
Yeah, I think culture really does trump everything else, and culture fundamentally helps drive your business decisions, but it also drives how you get things done safely, efficiently. A couple of the attributes of our culture are, first of all, a deep commitment to safety that was a transformative, just in terms of the lives of our people, but also a real focus on results. And then also just an awful lot of caring for one another, looking out for one another in all kinds of conditions, as well as the participation in the community. One of the things I love to do more than just about anything else is when our folks have a volunteer day at the local level, if I get the chance to show up and help out, that's just nothing more fun than doing something like that with your friends and coworkers.
What would okay, we spend a little time here. I want to ask the question, and then maybe I'll throw something in there regarding that about some of the curveballs, some of the timing, some of the things that we learned from the past. Safety was one of those I wanted to talk more about because our focus now is sustainability and reliability, and it ought to be. But a third pillar there is that safety, and I think that has come a long ways in the past. Bob, why is Brian the right choice for Northwestern Energy and its customers?
Great question, and that's a really good one to hit as we wrap up here. First of all, as you've just listened to Brian over the last hour, you can tell that tremendous experience. He is very smart. He is very hardworking. He knows the company. All that's fantastic. But I would say even more than that, he is a deeply ethical person. He is committed to the company's vision. You've heard that loud and clear. He's just committed to doing the right thing. And he really, really cares about the folks we work with and the people in the communities we serve. And obviously, I've seen that in Brian over all the time we've worked together. But again, traveling around Montana and Nebraska and South Dakota, my opportunity to say thank you and Brian's opportunity to talk about where he's going to be leading the company. We're both pretty emotional guys, and that came through more often than we might have liked, and just talking about what we do and why we do it. So Brian absolutely is the right choice. And as a customer, I am really looking forward to where he and everyone else we work with takes us.
Brian, maybe, you know, you're being commended here and rightfully so, you know, but so you can respond to that, but I'll ask a question about, you know, what do you do and why do you do it, as Bob had just said?
Well, I think, you know, my career was in the finance area, and, you know, you mentioned the Minnesota Vikings. 2 years there wasn't where I cut my teeth in finance. It was Northwest Airlines and NRG, where I also fell in love with this industry. That was in the late 90s. I love the industry. I love the purpose of what we do. Nothing happens, as Bob talked about the grid early on in this call. Nothing happens with what we do. We're a combo electric and gas utility. The complexity of providing both of those services to our customers is immense. And, you know, but more importantly, it's the people. This is an incredible organization, and it's really an incredible organization because of its people. And I'm certainly delighted and honored to have served in the role that I have thus far, and the opportunity to be its CEO, and privileged to have worked with Bob for 14 and a half years. It wasn't said on this call, but we were the combo, longest serving CEO-CFO combo in the utility for the full 14, or at least until I took this current role, for the 12 and a half years Bob was CEO before I moved into the President Chief Operating Officer role. So we've done it a long time. We've worked closely together, and we and the executive team and the management throughout this company and employees we've accomplished a lot, and we're certainly proud of that, but there's certainly more to do.
Well, and I would love to be a fly on the wall when you guys have coffee together in 6 months. I appreciate you all that faith in the company, in your employees, because you can get through a lot of challenges when you have that kind of confidence and that kind of faith and that kind of culture. Bob Rowe and Brian Bird with us here. I'm going to ask this is probably all we have time for, but it goes back and go wherever you want with it. You know, what have we learned from the past? What did we learn? And then maybe, you know, what did we not learn or what did we miss when we look at energy past, present, and into our future, Bob?
Boy, fantastic question. I'd say, first of all, be clear about what your purpose is, but be flexible about how you achieve that purpose. And just value and respect the contributions that everybody you work with can make, and pay as much attention to the communities and customers you serve as you possibly can. And we're on a very long journey to keep getting better and better with all those things. And Tom, thank you very much for spending the hour with us here.
Oh, heck, I've got a ton more questions, but no time in this. But down the road, Brian, this forum is going to be open for you because, again, it is so important, and communication is very key. But from your perspective then, what have we learned from the past when it comes to energy, and what did we possibly miss?
Well, I think one thing we need to be careful of is making assumptions of what the future is going to be like based upon today. Mm. I think, we saw, certainly in the time period I've been in this industry, there was a period of time when I was energy, I thought power prices were going to be going up forever. And then there's been a period of time here where some folks have felt that power prices and gas prices were going to be low forever. It's a volatile industry over a long period of time, and we have to be prepared for changes that occur. But even though I think a lot of times people are focused on how things are going to change going forward, but we as a business have to also be focused on what we're here for. And we're here for, obviously you mentioned it, to do things safely, but we have to think about doing it with reliability as a backdrop and customer affordability and sustainability. And that sustainability, I think we immediately jump to the environmental aspects of it, and that's true, but it's also to be financially strong and also providing, a good place to work for our employees. And so I think just be cognizant that things will change, but also sticking to your knitting, if you will, and what made you the company you are and the companies we've been for the last 100 years.
Well, I just wanted to take a moment here to say thanks again, and thanks for being on the program. And then also I wanted to let people know, as I'm looking at the website and all these things, they're very transparent about it. They've got an ESG commitment. Learn more about it. Click here. Northwestern Energy's Natural Gas Emissions Reduction Plan. Learn more. Click here. Read our Net Zero by 2050 vision. Click here. It's really good information, and when you talk about planning, you guys are doing it, and we appreciate it. That's Bob Rowe. Congratulations, Bob. I look forward to chatting with you down the road. Maybe you're guest hosting one of these days, huh?
Thank you.
Brian,
it's been a great discussion. Thank you.
Best of luck to you, Brian, too. Look forward
to
it.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. We'll have closing thoughts here after a bit.
Today, we're all looking for ways to cut our monthly spending without cutting corners. When you become a Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana member, you get a partner who's by your side, helping you get more out of your coverage. See if you qualify for financial help, which could lower your monthly payments to $0. Enroll today at shopbluemt.com or call 1-855-434-BLUE. For over 80 years, Blue Cross and Blue Shield has been here with a variety of plans to fit your needs and budget. And as a member, you'll have access to quality health care and benefits like telehealth and emotional well-being programs. Enrollment is happening now. Go to shopbluemt.com or call 1-855-434-BLUE. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana will stand by you through it all. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Didn't even get to the question about what's it like to run an energy company. I tried to think about, can I relate to that in sort of like an everyman, common man? I didn't know what might have related to that. But thank you again to Brian Bird, who will soon be the new chief executive officer, and Bob Rowe, who's retiring here at the end of the year. And thanks for your text messages too. One to get in here real quick, important to note that public utilities by definition are a monopoly, and that's the reason that they have oversight and are regulated. There's more to it than that, but I wanted to mention that too. We'll see you tomorrow at Stock Growers.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.